Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. And today we are talking about dealing with depression. And this is the month of December, and Christmas is coming. And you might be surprised that during the really happy, cheery season of Christmas, it's actually the hardest on people who are suffering from depression, especially if they've recently lost a loved one, or if they actually are suffering from depression itself. They can see all these other people having a great time. The kids getting presents and happily cheering and stuff, and they're thinking, gee, I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
I feel even worse.
You know, it's especially hard when there's, you know, a holiday or some sort of occasion or event where it's natural for everybody to be thrilled and happy and yay. It's even harder for people who are struggling. And sometimes there's a lot of depression around holidays because some folks are alone. And that can be really hard because holiday time is about family and friends and stuff like that. So we're going to be talking more about depression. But as we always do, we're going to read through today's article first. Sometimes it can be difficult to get loved ones to admit that they are depressed. Many people are ashamed to ask for help. They may convince themselves they can beat the illness alone. Therefore, it's important to understand the signs of depression and offer help as early as possible. If you believe that someone is depressed, you can take several steps to help them out. After recognizing the symptoms, try having a talk with them.It's better to do this in private, rather than around other people to avoid embarrassing them. During your conversation, let them express their feelings. If you lecture them, they may feel uncomfortable about sharing how they feel. Also, go into the situation with realistic expectations. It's unlikely that a single conversation will convince them to take action to combat depression. You need to gently...but persistently express your concern and willingness to listen to them. In your conversation, be sure to avoid any negative suggestions. For example, don't express frustration about the sufferer's condition because this will only make them feel worse. When assisting others, don't forget to look after your own mental health. One way to keep depression away is to exercise regularly.Exercise is one of the best natural recipes for boosting our moods. Eating healthily is also important. Diets that are high in sugar and processed foods can have a negative effect on your brain and make you feel worse. Moreover, try to get enough high-quality sleep each night, as it's vital for your mental and physical well-being. Finally, if you are feeling depressed, don't be afraid to seek help.There are always people out there who love you and can help you beat depression.
All right, everybody, let's try to deal with depression in the second day of our lesson for today. And it begins by saying sometimes it can be difficult to get loved ones to admit that they are depressed. My goodness, it's difficult to get your family members to admit anything sometimes, to admit or to confess or to actually say out loud that, yes, they've done something wrong, or yes, they're suffering from some kind of problem. Yes, I admit that I have a drinking problem. Sometimes it's difficult for alcoholics to admit that, but indeed, it can be difficult to get your loved ones, your brother, your sister, your mother, father, grandmother, etc., to admit that they are suffering from depression.
That's true. So many people are ashamed to ask for help. If you're ashamed of something, you're very embarrassed about something, or maybe you feel guilty. But here we're talking about people being embarrassed to actually share this particular thing with people around them. It's harder sometimes to tell your family things than people that you aren't as close to. So many people are ashamed to ask for help. You could be ashamed because you've done something that other people think is terrible, so you don't want to talk about it. I think the world's getting better about depression. I know when I was growing up, there was a lot of embarrassment attached to people who were seeking mental treatment for their depression, but I think that's changed a lot. It's changed a lot in Taiwan.
It certainly has. Hopefully it's changed for the better. So ashamed is how you feel. I feel ashamed, or I am ashamed. And then the word shame itself is the noun. I feel shame. That's the noun there. So ashamed is how you describe this. So yes, you might feel ashamed to ask for help. They may convince themselves that they can beat the illness alone.
I wanted to mention, Tom, we use ashamed too when parents see their kids doing something they shouldn't. And parents, I've heard parents say, you should be ashamed of yourself. For example, when I was little, my brother, I was at a Circle K, which is like a convenience store, and he put a candy bar in his pocket. Yeah, he was six. And my dad said, you should be ashamed of yourself because he did something.
That's stealing. Yes, yeah. You should feel ashamed of yourself if that happens. So, yes, lots of people do feel ashamed to ask for help, to confess that they have this problem. And they, again, may convince themselves that, hey, I can beat this. I don't need to tell anybody about this. I don't need to take medication. I don't need to see a psychotherapist. I don't need to do that. I can beat this myself. So they convince themselves of that. To convince someone means to persuade them to accept your position. And you can convince yourself, I'm strong enough. I can handle this. I've handled worse than this before. So, yes, it can be difficult to get them to convince themselves that they suffer from this, and they also convince themselves that they can beat the illness. This was kind of my mother-in-law. We suspected she suffered from depression, but she said, oh, I'm strong enough. I can beat this myself. Mm-hmm. I think she probably should have actually talked to somebody. But therefore, it's important to understand the signs of depression and offer help as early as possible. So yes, you should keep this in mind. Sometimes people suffering from this problem are not willing to admit that they have the problem. So it's kind of up to you to observe those symptoms and then try to figure out a way to treat them or help them find treatment.
Yeah, I think that's why we talked about the symptoms of depression in day one, so that you're on the lookout, because a lot of folks who are suffering won't talk about it. So it's good to have some knowledge about it so that you can step in and help. Let's go down to the second paragraph here. It says, if you believe that someone is depressed, you can take several steps to help them out. So here are some of the steps you can take. So after recognizing or seeing the symptoms displayed in front of you, you should try having a talk with them. This is especially important if you see this, that you have a talk that's private. You know, take that friend aside. Don't discuss this at a party in front of a whole group. That's inappropriate. Have a private talk with them when they're feeling, you know, safe and comfortable, so that they can kind of admit or talk about things that could be very private or embarrassing to them, depending on who they are. So, yeah, try having a talk with them is step one.
Yes, discuss this in private rather than around other people. I suppose the opposite of in private is in public. So, yes, discuss it amongst yourselves and not around other people, because you don't want these people to feel embarrassed. You don't want to embarrass them. Here we're using embarrass as a verb that just means to make them feel kind of uncomfortable, because other people can see their weak side and you feel kind of weak as a result and you feel vulnerable. So yes, you don't want to embarrass them. You don't want to have them be embarrassed.
Right. That's the last thing you want to do, because then they'll just really stop sharing with everyone.
They'll never trust you again.
No. During your conversation, let them express their feelings. It's important just to listen, you know, instead of automatically jumping in with some sort of conclusion that you think will work. Of course, everyone out there, I think especially women, we want to solve the problem. Or guys, they do that too. They want to solve the problem. So they jump in there before actually listening. Sometimes people just need to talk. So if you lecture them, they may feel uncomfortable about sharing how they feel. If you lecture somebody, you really don't give them a chance to talk. It's not a conversation. It's a one-way monologue where someone's doing all the talking. We use lecture a lot when we talk about college and even high school, when our teachers get up in front of class and talk to the students and, you know, keep talking to them to try to educate them, of course. But if you lecture a friend or family member, it gives this feeling that you're not letting them talk or participate in the conversation. You think that what you have to say is more important than what they have to say.
This is probably very difficult to control yourself with. They're so tempting these days to lecture other people these days with Facebook posts and stuff like that. Everybody wants to be the expert on something and post the answer. Well, this is a very simple question, and I know the answer. Lecture them. Oh, you're not depressed. Gee, this is really easy. All you got to do is eat a bunch of chocolate or go on down to the gym and work out for an hour every day, and you will snap out of it. No, you got to resist doing that. You just need to let people speak their piece. Let them say what they want to say. And you just listen and say, yes, yes, I understand. Yes, please continue and stuff like that.
Right.
So indeed, let them express their feelings and don't lecture them. And if you do lecture them, or you could say if you give them a lecture, they will feel uncomfortable about sharing how they feel.
Mm.
Okay, and the next sentence here also says, also, go into the situation with realistic expectations. You got to be realistic. You can't expect a miracle. Like I said, you can't expect to wave a magic wand and say, oh, gee, all you got to do is go talk to people, be more social or something like that. Go out on weekends, go to parties, and that will solve your problem. No, you got to be realistic. You've got to realize that this is a serious disease. It's a serious affliction, and it's going to take quite a long time to treat it, and there is no easy answer.
Yeah, I think all of us would love to come up with the most, I guess, optimistic solutions, but you have to remember to be realistic and practical. I also wanted to say expectations. I hear a lot of people in Taiwan say, my parents have a lot of expectation for me. Now, in that case, we always use the plural form, so be careful with that. Right now, we're going to listen, like Tom said, to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 今天我们继续来看这篇跟健康有关的文章。我们要谈的是忧郁症 ,depression。好，我们提到忧郁症呢，其实它有一些迹象你可以看得出来。当然有了忧郁症之后，要怎么样去帮助这些身旁得到忧郁症的人呢？好，今天我们就继续来谈。基本上你知道，如果Your loved ones, 也就是你的亲人，你所爱的人，要让他们去承认说他们得忧郁症了，这其实并不容易。好，这一句话里面的 get loved ones to admit, 这个句型跟 get 这个动词有关，因为 get 虽然它常见，不过它用法上要注意，是你说要让谁去做什么事，它基本上呢，受词后面接的是一个不定词的形式，也就是要他们你爱的人去承认，看到 to admit, 好，注意到表示主动语态的话是用不定词的。那很多人当然都不愿意说，也想要自己来处理。所以说，如果我们了解有人得了忧郁症，应该要提供他协助。那怎么做呢？在下一段里面，他这边有几个步骤。好，首先，知道以后应该 try having a talk with them。我们看到 try。这个字当然还是很简单，但是我们知道有时候你看到的是 try doing it, try to do something, 不定词的形式跟这种加 ving 的形式有差别吗？当你用 try 后面加 ving, 就会表示说试试看，做做看，那这种尝试的感觉跟你 try to do it, 如果用不定词解释上比较接近，这个 to 后面是你要企图达成的目标啊，比如说 try to convince her, 尝试去说服她。好，那这里的 try having 就是一个尝试看看，这样做做看。好，那接下来他说，最好是私底下这么做，而不是有其他人在场的时候。好，如果你用 rather than, 要特别注意，基本上它是一个连接词，对等连接词片语，所以前后的东西应该要平行。这也就是为什么如果你前面是一个动词片语，后面就是动词片语，前面是一个所谓的名词，后面也是名词。那这里呢，看到的是 in private, 这是一个介系词片语，而后面的 rather than 接的是 around other people, 这两个之间的对照性可以看一下。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson. We're talking about how to deal with depression, and we're taking the point of view of the person who is not suffering from depression, and they suspect that someone near and dear to them is suffering from depression. It could be a good friend. It could be a family member. It could be a colleague at work. So we're trying to give you some advice on what to do to help someone out who is suffering from depression. You have to realize that they probably are unwilling to admit that they are depressed. They'll feel ashamed to ask for help. And again, you cannot lecture them if you have some advice for them. No, just shut your mouth and let them do the talking. Let them talk it out. It's difficult enough to get them to talk in the first place. And if they are willing to talk it out with you, then do it in private so they won't feel embarrassed in public.
Yeah, that's really important. So it's unlikely that a single conversation will convince them to take action to combat depression. This verb combat means you fight something, right? So the verb is combat and the noun is combat. We use the noun combat when we're talking about fighting between military forces or armed forces. But to combat something means to fight it, not necessarily with guns or anything like that, but just battle depression, combat alcoholism, combat poverty. Yeah, where you're not actually using weapons like a gun or a knife or things like that, but you're opposing it. You're trying to attack that sort of thing that it becomes less and less. So here we're trying to combat depression so that people don't have to suffer so much.
Yes, indeed. There are people who have suffered from depression all their lives.
Yeah.
So it's not like the common cold. Oh, just, drink this, have some chicken soup with some ginger in it, and your cold will disappear tomorrow. No, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
So, yes, indeed. Be realistic. Don't expect one conversation to combat depression. And you need to gently but persistently express your concern and willingness to listen to them. So that's what you need to do here. Be gentle and persistently express your concern. I'm concerned about you. Please tell me what you're feeling now, and I'll try to help you as much as I can. I'm not going to lecture you. I'm not going to try to give you some simple solution. And you also need to express your willingness to listen. In other words, yeah, listen to them. Listen to what they're saying, and don't be playing with your smartphone at the same time.
Yeah. You need to really connect with that person, look at them, and just listen. Listening is very important. It's underrated. So you have to gently but persistently express your concern. Yeah, that's really important. So in your conversation, be sure to avoid any negative suggestions. I think sometimes people around folks who are dealing with depression get frustrated, perhaps. But if you're feeling frustrated, just think of how frustrated the person who's actually dealing with depression feels. For example, don't express that frustration. If you're frustrated, you feel like you can't do anything to change a situation, so you're feeling annoyed or upset about it. You feel powerless. I think when we feel powerless, we feel frustrated. I know one of my best friends, her brother suffered from depression. And, you know, the whole family at different times in his life tried to help. He ultimately did commit suicide. But, the best thing you can do is just always be there listening and not giving up on it. And don't express frustration about the condition, because that just adds to their guilt and makes them feel worse. And that's the last thing they need.
And I guess you shouldn't feel bad yourself about not being able to cure that person of depression.
Yeah.
You're not a psychiatrist.
No.
You're not a psychologist, so don't expect miracles there. And don't get frustrated. Frustration is the noun, and we feel frustrated. But in any case, yes, don't express frustration or don't be frustrated. Don't say, you're just causing trouble for everybody by being depressed like this. Why don't you just snap out of it, okay? It's really easy, okay? You don't need to feel sad all the time. Just be happy.
Just smile. It'll change everything. It doesn't, and it just makes them feel worse. So in the next paragraph, it says, when assisting or helping others, Don't forget to look after your own mental health. If you're someone who cares for someone with clinical depression, you need to make sure you're taking care of your own mental health. Make sure you're doing things that bring you joy and pleasure in your life. So to assist is just another word to help. So we've got assistance. That's a type of job where you're actually just helping somebody else do their main job. You might be an assistant to the CEO of a company where you're not just a secretary. You are their right-hand person, and you're doing a lot of the work that is vital to that company. So assisting, if you're helping, you need to take care of your own mental health. One way to keep depression away is to exercise regularly. I used to work out at night only, and then I started getting up early and going to the gym at 6, and I found my day was actually better. I felt like I was more in control, and I just felt really great. It was hard to get out of bed at 5:30 a.m., but I like getting up and going to the gym in the morning. It's kind of a nice change.
Well, I guess maybe that's one reason why I don't feel depressed a lot, because I do get up early to exercise, but I do that because that's the only time of day that I can exercise. Otherwise, I'm busy working and attending to family matters all the way until bedtime. So, yes, we're suggesting here that you could try to exercise regularly. It's not a cure-all. It's not a panacea, but hey, try it out. It might help you out a little bit. Exercise every day. And exercise is one of the best natural recipes for boosting our moods. A recipe is like a set of written instructions on how to cook a particular dish, but we use the word recipe when we talk about any kinds of instructions that help us with a particular task in life. It's a good recipe for boosting our moods. To boost here just means to improve
or
to lift something up, to make it higher, basically. Hey, I can't reach the book on the top shelf. Can you give me a boost?
Or can you boost me up? Yeah, we'll do both those.
Yeah, mine used to boost there as a noun, but here we're using it as a verb.
Mm-hmm.
This can boost our moods, make us feel happier.
It's
so
a verb ing, isn't it? It's a verb
boosting.
ing, yeah.
Yeah, verb ing, indeed. Yeah. And eating healthily is also important. Okay, so yes, have a good diet. Of course, have lots of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. A lot of people, when they get down, they turn to junk food, and that would be cookies and potato chips, things
Hostess
like that.
Twinkies.
Those things, they actually don't improve the situation if you have a lot of sugar in you. It gives you a spike, which means a sharp increase in your sugar, and then it just drops you low and you feel worse. So be careful with processed foods and junk foods when you're feeling down. They just add to that negative feeling that your brain has and makes you feel worse. Moreover, try to get enough high-quality sleep each night. Sleep is essential. If I don't get enough sleep, I'm in a bad mood and just it's hard to get through the day. So sleeping's important. Moreover, we've got a lot of connecting words when we're writing. This is one of them. Moreover just means, and in addition to that or further, you could also say furthermore or further, comma, you could do that too. Try to get enough high quality sleep. So this is vital or essential for your mental and physical well-being. We use that well-being when we're talking about everything working correctly in our mind and body.
And finally, if you are feeling depressed, don't be afraid to seek help. Here, the word seek just means to look for, to find help. There are always people out there who love you and can help you beat depression. So, yes, there are sources out there, numbers you can call, people you can talk to. Even if you don't have any family or friends, there are still depression hotlines that you can call, people in hospitals, volunteers and stuff like that. So, yes, indeed, seek out those resources and do try to beat your depression, but also remember that it's not something that can be cured in a day.
No, there are always people out there who love you. So turn to them and get some help that way. Hopefully, those who are listening can beat depression. Maybe you'll have to deal with it the rest of your life, but you want to be able to function and normally and have a quality life. Right now, we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher.
好，我们继续来看，提到要跟得了忧郁症的人呢谈一谈，然后应该要私底下做，不要别人在场。那这边就是说，假如呢你的方式 是用说教的方式，那很可能他们就会觉得非常的不自在。那这边就提到 It's unlikely that a single conversation will convince them to take action. 意思就是说，我们呢一定要不要以为一讲了就有效。他说 It's unlikely， 这个 unlikely 就是代表不可能。我们知道它的相反词是 likely， 当形容词就是可能的。那 It's unlikely that 这个句构其实应该要常用才对啊，因为 unlikely 我们有时候呢可能比较不会想到它，而会想到 possible impossible， 可是这个句型 It's unlikely that 就表示某件事情不可能。那一次谈话你就想说服他们去采取行动其实是不太可能的，你应该要持续的温柔的去跟他们谈。好，这边的重点就是说要对待得到忧郁症的人，你一定要去表达关心，而且呢记得不要让他们有挫折感，因为这样并没有帮助他们。那接下来呢他又在说到如果你是帮助别人，也就是帮助得了忧郁症的人的同时，一定要照顾自己，不要忘了照顾自己的心灵健康。那这句的开头，仔细看一下句型 ，when assisting others， 连接词 when， 接下来他用了 ving， 当然就提醒你这是一个分词句构。这样的分词句构。当然省略掉主词，那主词跟后面是一样的，在这句话里面后面是祈使句的句型，所以他讲的其实就是 you， 换句话说 when you assist others， 当你在帮助别人的时候绝对不要忘记照顾自己的心灵健康。好，前面这个分词构句请特别注意。那接下来当然就再告诉大家还有什么方法照顾自己，记得有用的是规律运动，不想得忧郁症，那运动是一个好方法。那他就说了，还有别的，除了这个之外 ，one way， 接下来的 also 提醒你吃，这个也很重要。好，我们看到这几个转折词都是在提醒大家一点，接下来一点。好，从 one way 到后面的 also， 接下来。说完吃之后呢，他后面又看到一个转折词 moreover， 这个 moreover 当然就是告诉你进一步再讲此外还有什么，睡眠也是一样重要的。那谈到睡眠他提到了 us is vital for your mental and physical well-being， 这个 us 当然代表的是因为睡眠对你的身心健康非常的重要。好，讲完这边还要结尾就是最后 finally。 我们今天讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That's all for today, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.